The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at about 5:40. I want to tell everybody it's Tulane Tuesday, so we'll have the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Sumrall, will join us at 4:20. And at 5:20, one of our top guests, Mark Schlereff, talking about the NFL, talking about the Saints, you name it. Mark does a fantastic job, not only in his radio coverage, also on television. And at 5:40, we're going to get on Chris Dotson from Clutch Points to talk about the Pelicans. But, Charlie, my goodness. Okay, here you had a four-point lead with 3:35 left in the game against the Nets. You didn't score a point.
Nope.
The rest of the way, you lose 107-105. Here's the best part. We were staring at the board. You know what the point spread was in that game? Nets 1.5.
Oh, wow. They barely covered, huh?
Just think of you. Boy, were you sweating bullets?
You were sweating bullets when Cam Thomas was taking those free throws. He misses the first one. They may not cover. No, and Mike, it was.
That was really bad. And then, you know, to lop onto it, Jose Alvarado down now. Looks to be 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. So, as you pointed out, he's added to the list with Zion and Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray and Jordan Hawkins and C.J. McCollum. Good gracious. You really treading water now.
Do you want to talk about the Nets or you want to talk about the injury issues first?
Well, we'll talk about the game first.
But, all right, let's recap the game.
Man, the Nets.
Ivemisi is like the shining light of this season for the Pelicans right now because they've got nothing else. And Brandon Boston's been good too.
Yeah, he's been okay. Yeah.
But this is a G League roster for the Pelicans at this point. You just listed off all the injuries. So the issue with the Pelicans and where they are right now, losing 8 of 9, they're sitting 3-8 on the season, things are looking grim, is that they're losing to bad teams. Portland's true. A terrible team. Orlando without Paolo Banchero, bad team. The Brooklyn Nets are a terrible team. And now you're going to play the really good teams in this upcoming slate. The Pelicans are digging themselves a hole right now, and you can't really fault anyone because they're putting out a G League roster right now because of all the injuries that you mentioned. Last night was a huge chance to pick up a win, and every single win with all these players out would be gigantic. But as you mentioned, final 3.5 minutes, they don't score a single point. They blow a late lead. Cam Thomas hits the three. He hits the couple of, you know, he basically scores the final, I think, 5 points kind of seal it. Yeah. And at that point, the final possession for the Pelicans as well made me lose it. Javonte Green is taking that three?
No way.
What are we doing?
No way.
I was talking to Cullen about this the other day, and Cullen's just like, oh, Javonte Green hasn't been bad. He hasn't been good.
No.
He hasn't been good, Mike. You get rid of Najee Marshall, and you're like, oh, Javonte Green's going to be the replacement for Najee Marshall. He's just a worse version.
No, here's my deal. We're going to have to all penny up and get Cullen a new TV.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's bad. And so he's the one that's taking the three in that situation? When you go 3.5 minutes without scoring, some of those offensive sets were bad, Mike, but I mean, run a play for Trey, right? If you're going to try and take the three. I know that Coach Green talked about Trey's kicking off some rust, and he's still, you know, he's coming back from his own hamstring strain, so it was good to see him on the floor. He didn't look great, but it's at least, you know, one of your legit players. He's going to have to be a star for you in these next few weeks because you're still missing, as you mentioned, C.J. McCollum, DeJounte Murray, Zion Williamson, Herb Jones, Jordan Hawkins. They're all dealing with injuries, and now Jose Alvarado added to the mix. It's been an avalanche. And we're 11 games into the season. You're 3-8 right now.
If you're talking three about, might stay for quite some time.
You're 14th in the Western Conference, and you've lost to bad teams because you don't have your players healthy.
Nope.
And so you just made a bad situation super bad, and now you're looking at this upcoming slate. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel for this team until their players get back.
No,
and their players aren't getting back until December at the earliest.
Yeah, and so I used to work with a guy who used to tell me, Mike, it get from bad to worstesses. Well, that's what's happened with the Pelicans. It's got the worstesses. And so we'll talk a lot more about it when we get Chris Dotson on, but it's just disappointing with all the buildup to the season and to have all these injuries. And, I don't know if you can call it bad luck. It's just
– Jake Madison put it out there, Mike, that, you know, at this point it's just incredibly bad luck. I think that's what you – like, yes, you can put blame on the training staff. You can put blame on potentially the players for not doing the pregame stretching that they need to do to avoid these soft tissue injuries. But at the same time, it's just – there's got to be some kind of mixture of just awful, horrible, bad luck. And
well,
that's where
you got buzzard luck. I mean, you got none at this stage. LSU picked up a big commitment. I know we had a couple people ask about it. Kenny Darby, he's for 2026. He's not for 2025. Kenny went to Airline High School. And the one thing when you watch Airline play, you better pick the over. Man, they can score, but they give up a ton of points. In 10 games this year, he's caught 80 passes for 1,489 yards and 22 touchdowns. He was an early verbal commitment to Mississippi State, got the offer from LSU, and he picked LSU over Florida State, Miami of Florida, Tennessee. And he's also an outstanding track athlete, a triple jumper sprinter. And so LSU did land Kenny Darby from Airline High School, who I think, had he kept this on, he would have – He was really going to push the limit. It had been more than 42 schools that were after him at this stage. So he's not a 2025 guy. He's 2026. So they did get that commitment today from Kenny Darby. But getting back to it before we bring on John Summerall is that, man, Charlie, you could not have any worse luck than what's happened with the Pelicans.
Real quick, I want to ask you about Kenny Darby, Mike, because Airline, Alan Waddell, I produced the prep show. Alan's talked about Airline football this year and how crazy of a season that they've had, because they've had all these games where they've given up 50-plus points,
take deal,
but they win.
Yes.
Just think about that for a second. They give up 50-plus points in multiple games, but they've won all of them because they're scoring like 60 points. I mean, the offense is ridiculous. Their defense is bad, but, I mean, it's gotten to the 2 seed in their division, in their bracket. So good luck to Airline. It's probably been a really crazy team to follow this year.
One thing for sure, they're not boring. If you go watch them, they not a boring team to watch. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 8-7. We have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long. Today is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. It's our weekly segment with the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. And so let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Coach, glad to have you back on again, and congratulations. A big win this past Saturday, 52-6 over Temple. A couple of things stuck out to me. Your defense gave up only five first downs in this game, and you dominated time of possession, 38-53 to 21-07. I can see how you got to 52 points, Coach.
But just look at the third downs too, Mike. I mean, there's a way that you dominate time of possession. You stop a team on third down, and you convert a ton of them, and that's what Tulane did.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy joining y'all. Yeah, defense played pretty good. We gave up a 75-yard run at the end of the game that kind of pissed me off. But and I'm still a little bit angry about that. We had a shutout going, and we gave up a 75-yard touchdown run I wasn't pleased with. And really, we started a little slow. You know, we kind of sputtered out offensively a couple times early in the game and didn't quite find our footing for a little while. But once they got going on that side of the ball, we got going. And credit to the staff and the players for getting the job done. And it was a tremendous, tremendous environment. Homecoming, great turnout, a lot of people on campus. Really fun day.
Coach, normally I'd throw it right to you on Mekhi Hughes, but it's almost we were repeating the same thing every week. I mean, hey, listen, ain't nothing wrong with that. He's getting the job done, and he's a workhorse guy and just a tremendous asset to your team. But by Ty Thompson, tell the listeners about this because, you know, Ty came in here, and basically I think most of us thought he was going to be the starting quarterback. And you've got a role for him. And Mensah has been outstanding at quarterback for you. But to find that role and for him to accept it, I think that's a great credit to you and your staff because a lot of guys, I'm not the man, so what? But you had him buy into what you were selling he could help this team win.
Well, and Ty's an incredible young man. You know, he wasn't pleased that he didn't win the starting quarterback job. He gave a lot of effort and time to try to win the job. And at the end of the training camp competition, we felt like Darian was the guy that earned it. But the way Ty is wired, he's a great teammate. He's a really competitive kid. He's an extremely hardworking young man. And so he wanted to find a way to help the team. And he's really embraced his opportunities. He's continued to stay positive, and he's been a great part of this football team. And, you know, another thing that I think has really been fun to watch is the relationship that Ty and Darian have. You know, they hang out a lot. They go to local high school. Like, I heard they were at a JV game between, I think, Metairie Country Day and Newman a few weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. Like, those guys just they really lean on each other, support each other, cheer for each other, and they support each other through their successes. And so Ty's wired the right way. He's a good teammate, hardworking kid, smart, tough, dependable, a fun guy to be around on a daily basis. And so very grateful to have him here, but also very grateful for his response to maybe him not winning the job, which could have gone the wrong way if he wasn't didn't have the type of character he does.
Coach, last week we saw him for the first time, and then this week he catches a big touchdown pass. Chaz Preston, I've known his dad for many years, and his older brother, he was a defensive back at Mississippi State. Got a tryout, actually, with the Saints. But, you know, Chaz, when I saw him at St. James, you know, he was playing for Coach Valdez, who's now at St. Aug. And so, man, he reminded me so much of Jarvis Landry when he was there because contested catches, it wasn't no 50-50 job. It was 90-10. He was going to come up with it to see that big play, and he's fought injuries, and it's just been tough for him to come back. I was so pleased that he got that touchdown, and hopefully he'll be a bigger part of your offensive attack down the stretch.
Yeah, it's great to see for Chaz. You know, when he got here, he obviously hadn't really played at Alabama. Great local high school player, hadn't played in college, came here, really had to kind of regain some confidence, to be honest with you, when he got here. And really, about midway through spring, you started to feel that confidence come on, that swagger that everybody talks about. And you started to feel him make some big catches in some practices in the spring. And then in the month of May, when our assistant coach is going on the road recruiting, one of the dumbest rules, I can't go recruit the way the rules are made in college. They, all the other coaches get to go recruit. I got to stay in the office.
That don't make no damn sense.
Makes no sense. Like, I'm the one that has to decide who we take and don't take, but I can't go watch the guys practice. And so, so I was here at the office, and the two hardest working guys in the month of May, when our guys are technically off, they got time away from the building to, in no school, to go do whatever they want to do. Two hardest working guys, two local guys. It was Dante Fleming and Chaz Preston. They were here, I felt like, every day. And, you know, Chaz had really put a lot into development, physical, mental, the whole deal. And in May, and he came back in June, he looked really, really good. And then he had a hamstring injury that was pretty substantial and sidelined him for quite a bit. And, you know, hard to face that adversity. And the excitement of him making that play on Saturday, I think you could feel on our sideline from so many people that have been able to see what he's gone through. And, you know, when you get cleared, you know, Chaz, I'll never forget about 3 weeks ago, he's like, Coach, how do I get more? And I'm like, well, you got to start practicing now. Like, you don't just all of a sudden go, hey, we're cleared and you're going to start at wide receiver now. You got to go practice and show that you're capable and healthy. And, you know, you get a few reps, you get a few more reps, you get a few more reps. And if you do well with them, you keep getting more. And so for him to have that play on Saturday, man, was such a exciting moment for everybody in our program to see Chaz kind of get that moment. And and his emotion on the sideline after it was fun to see, and cannot wait to see him continue to take steps forward.
Coach, 7 straight wins, and so now top 25 ranking. We've talked about your defensive improvement, and I think it really all culminated in just a complete shutdown. Outside of that 75-yard rushing touchdown at the very end, that, as you mentioned, your defense was awesome. But I want to ask you about the offense and the explosive play specifically, because, I mean, Temple was – he just kind of hit him with as Mike likes to say, hit him with a tsunami of explosive plays in the passing attack. I mean, obviously, we talked about Ty Thompson. He had a 50-yard touchdown. You know, Mekhi Hughes did his thing, going over 150 yards again. But Darian Mensah in this passing attack, I mean, you just talk about 262 yards on 14 completions. You were hitting him down the field early and often, Coach. And just talk about that passing attack with Mensah and even kind of just the general explosive plays of the offense in this matchup.
Yeah, well, the way we're wired, you know, we try to, dictate the game to the other team a little bit. We want to win the physical battle at the line of scrimmage and run the football, but we also want to take shots in the pass game. And a lot of it's about setting things up, and it's also about what is the other team allowing you to do. So, you know, I come from a defensive background. There's a weakness to every defense, you know, and so it's what can we maybe take or exploit that's there for the taking. And, you know, when you get the chance to hit the shot play, you got to go hit it. And so our guys ran the ball well. We threw and caught it pretty good. Had a couple of incompletions that probably just weren't quite up to our standard. But the big plays were critical in the game. And really, once we got rolling, you kind of felt everybody stepping up. And it starts with Mekhi typically for us. Ty had a big run late in the game. Mario had a couple of really big catches. A lot of guys really stepped up and made some significant plays in the game.
Coach, now on the horizon, Navy. And talking to coaches that have went up against them, they're like, man, they are pain in the yuck to be to prepare for. Because you don't see that type offense very much. And they like a machine with it. You know, they keep running it. Now, they are a little different from Army. Army doesn't throw the ball as much as Navy, but they lull you into, we run in this play, and then we run it, and we run it, and then the safety starts to cheat, boop, over the top, and make a big play in the passing game. How challenging is it for you as a defensive coach to go up against a team that, from a schematic standpoint, you rarely see in college football?
It's a real challenge for everybody in our program. You know, I'm very grateful. I got a great defensive staff here. I try not to screw them up too much. You know, I give them some ideas and I let them go run it. But you know, Greg Gasparato, our defensive coordinator, he coached at Army previously, and we played Army the last 2 years at Troy, but you're dead on. While there are some similarities from a three-back option standpoint, there are also some differences. Navy sprinkles in a little bit more wing T type stuff. Yeah. Navy also throws the ball more. Their quarterback and their dive back are different types of players. You know, the quarterback at Navy is about a 6'2", 195-pound kid, and is really more like a conventional quarterback that's playing in a triple option offense, and he can run. And their dive backs are more like traditional running back size. Where Army's unique is Army's quarterback, he throws it good, but he's built like a daggum linebacker.
He sure is.
We played him last year, and he's a load. And then their dive back, the guy they turn around and hand it off to on the first part of the option, on the three-back option stuff, those guys are usually like 260 at Army. They got offensive guards, it looks like, back there. And so that's another issue. And so there's some things that are similar, but there's also some things that are unique about both. And Navy has been really, really productive offensively this year. And the thing you hit on that you cannot underestimate is how hard it is to prepare for it in a week. And you really can't get your look team or scout team, if you will, you can't get them to maybe quite do it with the same precision or speed. And, you know, the unsung hero of the week for us this week is Dagan Bruno. Dagan's a local kid, went to John Curtis, and so he's run the split back veer stuff. So he's our look team quarterback this week, and sure is nice having him because he knows how to operate a lot of those things. But there's no way you can quite replicate how clean and fast and efficient they do it.
And talking to coaches that have went up against an Army or a Navy team like you faced Navy this Saturday, the thing they've emphasized is, one, get on them early. Get points on the board early. And secondly, the most important stat of all when you play Navy, third down. Got to get them off the field because, coach, if they continue that first down, it's a wear down. And that's what they want to do. They want to wear your defense down. And so – I had a coach tell me just a couple of days ago, hey, jump on them early, get some points on the board, kind of take them a little bit out of their rhythm. But if they continue to hit third down plays and move the chains, you're in trouble defensively.
Yeah, you gotta be good on third down. A lot of time being good on third down, it starts with being good on first. You want to, you know, if you can minimize their efficiency on first down, you're able to get them into more third and longs. Starting fast offensively and scoring helps you a ton. And the other big key that I think has been an indicator in their games when you look back the last couple of years is winning the turnover margin. We got to protect the football and try to get it off of them some. And then you hit on this, the explosive play component, like where they lull you to sleep with the run, the run, the run. But where they're really dangerous is they'll hit you over the top with a pass play that goes for 50 or 60 yards because everybody's losing their eyes and not playing with the right leverage and coverage. And so that they do some things that challenge you, but there are some things we got to be really good at. There are situational football things to give ourselves the best chance to be successful.
Coach, good luck this coming Saturday against Navy, and we'll be pulling for you, brother.
Keep it rolling, Coach.
Get that W.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too, Coach. That was our Tulane Tuesday segment brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll be back with more here on Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody on the North Shore, join Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss for Fans in the Pro Live from Rouse's Market in Mandeville this coming Friday. Don't miss your chance to hang out with the Saints' legendary running back and the voice of the New Orleans Saints. Come out and say hi, talk Saints, LSU, Pelicans, and make some groceries for another big sports weekend with Deuce and Hoss at Rouse's Market at East Causeway Approach in Mandeville, Friday from 4 to 6, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. Charlie, I don't think you and I got a long chance to talk about this, but when Billy Napier got that extension when the University of Florida, now part of that is tied. They have so many players in these NIL deals that are freshmen and sophomores. They don't want to lose those guys. But other coaches have been using it against him to try to make sure that they don't go to Florida. And I would say almost every coach is doing that exact same thing. I don't know how you take the hot seat off of Billy. It has not been successful there. And but I see the connection and what the athletic director and the board of supervisors in Florida was doing, because you got your money tied up. If Billy's not there, you could lose a big chunk of those players. We've seen it before with different teams losing so many players. It'll be an interesting week for LSU playing Florida. Man, Florida on defense, they are horrible. They give up big play after big play after big play. And can LSU stop the young quarterback? That's the thing here. We've seen it 2 weeks in a row. They've had some real difficulties matching up, especially if the quarterback takes off and run.
So, real quick, DJ Lagway, that young quarterback that you're talking about with Florida, I don't know if he's playing yet. He's apparently day-to-day via Napier.
I think he plays.
I think he will, too. He suffered that hamstring injury against Georgia. And this is where, you know, Scott Strickland, and he's come out and said that they're committed to Billy through next year as well. Now, I think a lot of the reason for that is what Coach Kelly was mentioning in his presser, right, where he kept talking about, yeah, they've dealt with a slew of injuries, but they've still played really hard for Coach Napier. And I may be in the minority, and I probably am. I think Billy Napier is a good coach. I saw what he did at UL. Give him
time.
Well,
if you were doing this in Gainesville, you'd be my
party. Oh, no. The phone lines would be lit up, and people would be calling me stupid. But I think he's a good coach. Now, the issue is that this schedule for Florida has been unbelievable.
It's brutal.
It has been a gauntlet for them. And they're 4-5. I mean, they've won the games that they were supposed to win. They just haven't won any of the games against top 25 teams that they aren't supposed to win. Now, so they're 0-5. Against top 25 ranked opponents. They lost to Miami, they lost to Texas A&M, they lost to Tennessee, they lost to Georgia, and they lost to Texas. Those are all good teams, Mike. And so, I mean, those are all teams that are going to be competing for the playoffs. They've just had a really tough schedule. And so, for LSU, you're going into the swamp, you have to make it 0-6. You can't have any kind of let up. Because if you're looking at Florida's remaining schedule, they have LSU at home, they have Ole Miss at home, and then they go to Florida State. Now, Florida State's been awful. They should be able to take care of business there and get a fifth win. But you're looking to try and get the bowl eligibility. You have to figure out a way to somehow split that LSU and Ole Miss game. Ole Miss is coming off a gigantic victory over Georgia. They're feeling good about their playoff chances now. LSU's desperate for a win. So which of those games should Florida fans feel more confident about?
Here's my thing. I learned this from Diliberto years ago. Bet on the desperate team. And right now, LSU's the desperate team. They clinging on here. And, okay, you've had a game and a half where you have looked absolutely horrible on both sides of the ball now. It's just not on one side, on both sides of the football. So, to me, when I watch Florida's defense, I wonder how many of those guys. And, okay, you recruiting in a situation here where you got to go up against some of the top recruits in the country. Charlie, how many of those defensive players would start at Georgia or Tennessee or at Ole Miss? Maybe a couple?
Yeah, not many.
But of the 11, you probably got two, and that's it.
So a couple things with Florida. Yes, their defense has given up explosive plays multiple times throughout the season. Their offense, like, and the big issue is their quarterback situation, really. Because you and I have talked about this, Mike. You've said that they don't do anything well. I think the one thing they do decent is run the football.
Yeah, they're above average running the ball. The problem is, Charlie, you've fallen behind so quickly, you can't really want to always run the ball.
Yeah.
I get that part, but it sort of takes you out of the game plan of wanting to run the football. Man, Texas jumped on them so fast, it was like a bad cat. And you couldn't get him off you. So it forces you to throw the football. That's got to be LSU's game plan. Jump on them quickly and take it out. And then you can play sick'em. Get after DJ if he's the quarterback. Stop the run. Because they haven't hit on a lot of big plays downfield either. That's not their specialty. They really want to run the ball and set up the passing game. But because they fall behind so quickly, you don't have a chance to set up the passing game.
I agree 1,000%. And that's exactly what LSU has to do this upcoming weekend, is to jump on that team. And it was almost kind of similar to what we talked about when we were previewing the LSU A&M game. It's just like, you don't want them to be able to run the football, so you have to jump on them early and often. And LSU did do that, but then in the second half, and going back to your point, Mike, basically Blake Ruffino of the RU Series Sports Network, he's a friend of the program, he comes on all the time, he made a great point. The last six quarters for LSU, defensively and offensively, so it's not just one side of the ball, but the last two games specifically defensively, Mike, where you've given up 80 total points, 554 total rushing yards, a majority of that coming to the quarterback, man, it's been bad. Like, you aren't able to jump out to this big lead if you're just getting gashed in the run game defensively. So, yes, the start of the game, first quarter, start of the second quarter, going to be gigantic for LSU if they can drop Florida to the 0-6 against those top 25 teams.
When Jalen Milroe is going to go into the College Football Hall of Fame, all he got to do is get that reel played against LSU twice. Man, he'll have more highlights than they really want to show on that. The other thing that I think is in LSU's favor is Corey Raymond, who was on that staff on the defensive side of the football, can give you some tidbits about that young secondary, because Corey was there for a couple years, and he helped recruit some of those guys to the University of Florida. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number one of sports talk on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. Charlie, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but last night, Miami, 23-15 over the Rams. So Bob and I are doing TV today. And he's like, Mike, how come Matt Stafford don't play that against us? Man, Miami's defense got after him. And when you throw in the ball almost 50 times, you ain't winning. They only ran it 18.
I think it was something, the stat was that it's only the second time in 50 games that Stafford's played with the Rams that they haven't scored a touchdown. Like, that was an impressive performance by Miami's defense. But as you mentioned, it was also really ugly from the Rams' offense. So,
man, the ball was coming out sort of ugly on him.
Yeah.
It wasn't the normal Stafford throw. And Bob was right. Man, we'd like to see that when he plays against the Saints. And Tua, hey, give him credit. Yeah, he made the plays when he had to. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.